This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Ever wonder what it's like to try to make a living in the death care industry? Well, those who study mortuary science, or the study of deceased bodies, can tell you. Originally founded in 1882 as the Cincinnati School of Embalming, the Cincinnati College of Mortuary Science is a leader in funeral service education. And here to talk about the funeral industry, the science behind it, and how it's changed over the years are Cincinnati College of Mortuary Science President Jack Lechner and current student Ben Dollarhide. Also joining us is Cincinnati College of Mortuary Science Adjunct Instructor, Greater Cincinnati Funeral Service Association President, and Thomas Justin Memorial Funeral Home Manager, Jane Ludlow. You can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Jack, Ben, and Jane, thank you for joining us today. Greatly appreciated.
Thank you for having us.
So, Jack, the school was originally the Cincinnati College of Embalming. Now, how exactly did it get its start?
Well, the college started in 1882, and, you know, embalming becomes really a science and an art right after the Civil War. And that's really where the needs identified to embalm. And then Cincinnati was fortunate enough to open the first college of mortuary science, as you said, as an embalming college, and is the oldest mortuary school in the country now.
So it was the original embalming school in the United States. That's amazing.
Yeah, oldest of 60 in the United States.
So there's 60 schools that teach this? Okay, and this one's the oldest. Where's the college located, Jack?
Finneytown, technically. Oh, okay. It's across from St. X High School.
And Jack's really being great about this because he is brand new to this position. And congratulations, by the way, Jack,
on becoming
the new president.
Yeah, I have to use my GPS to get there.
So you're still learning Cincinnati. So it's in Finneytown. Talk about the, and Jane, you can help out too since you're an adjunct instructor. What are the facilities like?
Well, probably for a funeral director, the biggest draw is it's all one level. There's no steps. Everything is on the same level. So they thought about everything when they built the school. It's in a square, basically, and you still go there. So,
yep.
So it's built
yep.
in a square. The lab facilities are broken into two different sections. So if an embalming is taking place in one section, you can be in a different section doing something completely different, cosmetics or something like that. They have refrigeration. They have a four-car garage, I think. It's great. It's great. It's. We used to be on the campus when I first started of Xavier University. So we were in with the nurses, and I don't think they liked the smells very much, even though they were nurses. So it was interesting. We always had these funny looks, and when we did certain things, they'd have to shut the shades because we didn't have privacy and other students were walking through the facility. So, yeah, it's nice to have our own place.
Well, and it's interesting, Jack. I, we talk about mortuary science. There is a lot of science behind this. There's a lot of technical information you have to learn to do this.
Yeah, a lot of science, histology, pathology, microbiology, anatomy and physiology.
Really?
A lot of chemistry. I mean, the students go through a lot of science study. So when they come to the Cincinnati College of Mortuary Science today, they come with 2 years of general academic studies, and then they get that intense science study while they're at Cincinnati College of Mortuary Science.
Ben, tell us what your experience has been like at the school.
Well, like the president said, I came here after 2 years of college. Well, that's the general rule. I actually came after 2.5 years of Catholic seminary, so I technically have enough credits to be in a master's program, but I'm still without a degree. But it's a wonderful program. I've made some wonderful friends. I'm actually supposed to be in clinical lab right now. My lab group, I think, is listening to us as we sit here and talk. So, hi, guys. but it's wonderful. The students are wonderful. We're close. The faculty and the staff, they're wonderful. They're genuine. They want to help us. You know, they want to get us out there. They want us to become the best that we can be in this industry.
What attracted you to go into this business?
Well, to be honest, this was kind of plan B. Okay. I wanted to be a Catholic priest since I was in third grade, and it wasn't until the beginning of my third year of seminary. I was in seminary for 3.5 years. I apologize. It wasn't until the beginning of my third year of seminary that I'm like, you know, these thoughts of being a funeral director keep coming up, you know, and I couldn't keep going on in seminary knowing that these thoughts of wanting to be a funeral director were still in the back of my mind. And now being out of seminary and being in this business, I found that, you know, the calling that I thought I felt in seminary has actually, you know, transposed over to this wonderful business. You know, I could minister to people who are, you know, in the worst times of their lives and walk with families, you know, through the grieving process.
Yes, so it's that's good. It's just as much of a calling as going into the priesthood.
Certainly, though. Yes.
But you don't have to do weddings.
Exactly.
You. You know, there was a term, though. One of the things that you train people in is how to be a celebrant. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What exactly does that mean?
I think what you see today is that a lot of families aren't necessarily religiously oriented, but they still need to connect with the deceased, and they still need to conduct a celebration of life. And so what that celebrant does, and the school actually does train individuals to become celebrants, teaches them how to connect with the family, how to talk to the family, find out some things about the individual who has passed away, and then bring that up and facilitate it in a meaningful service that allows those grieving individuals to come together to mourn in a meaningful ceremony, and so they can start their grief journey in the right direction and start to move that individual from a relationship of presence to a relationship of memory.
And Jane, how much training do you need to go into this profession?
In the state of Ohio, you have to have a bachelor's degree in order to gain your license, funeral director or embalmers. In Ohio, there's two different separate licenses. One is to be an embalmer, one's to be a funeral director. If you're going to be an embalmer, you have to be a funeral director. If you want to be a funeral director, you can do that without being an embalmer. So they try to make it as confusing as possible. Yeah.
What's it mean to be a funeral director? I mean, what's that?
A funeral director is someone who would conduct funerals. You get a funeral director's license. You would conduct funerals. You're not licensed to embalm. So you can have the funeral. You can run the funeral home. You can take someone in a procession, but you cannot embalm. You have to have a separate license to do that.
Mm-hmm. So, Jack, students get 2 years of general studies before they come into the school. Then how much longer before they graduate? And what degree, what kind of licensing do they graduate with?
Well, they have two options. If they like, they can stay for 3 semesters and earn an associate's degree in the applied science. Or they can stay for the 4th semester and earn a bachelor of mortuary science degree. And like Jane was saying, the state of Ohio is a little more stringent and has a little stricter professional standards, so they require a bachelor's degree. So that bachelor's degree is really very important at CCMS. And it's important because of, you know, the licensing for Ohio, but it's also, I think it signifies how much the school values education. When a student goes to CCMS, they get more than they're going to get out of a 1-year certificate program. They really are being trained by professionals. They're being trained by people who take this profession very seriously and who have studied and continue to do research and study in the profession.
So how many students do you currently have at the college?
Currently there's there's about 54. Normally a average year runs 60 to 80 per year. Nationally there's between 1,500 and 2,000 mortuary students at any one time spread throughout the 60 schools in the United States. So the actual number of people going into the profession is down recently. It was running about 3,000 a year, and now it's down to about 2,000 a year.
So where do the students come from, Jack?
Majority of the students come from Ohio and the surrounding area and Kentucky, and I came from New Jersey because I thought so much of the school. I was talking to a young lady last night who's from Arizona, and she's there because it's just one of the two places you can get a bachelor's in mortuary science, and because of the school's reputation, she wanted to come there.
What ages typically are?
Well, after high school, 2 years after high school would put the first group down there in their early 20s. But there's also a lot of individuals who come in for a second career. It's not unusual to find someone within their early 30s going to school. They're even older than that, changing it, going into a second career.
Yeah, like one of my good friends at the school, Bob Bream, is actually, I'm not sure what he did before this, but I know that He's one of our lab instructors, one of the best students we have in my class. He's a wonderful guy. You know, and I'm thinking of a few other students that I know who, you know, this is the second career. So it's wonderful getting their perspective, finding out what made them come into this business, their experience from their past careers, and how that transposes is quite interesting.
Do you find that that most students are generational? Is this something that's is it a family business kind of thing, Jane?
I think that most of the time it is a family business. When I first went to school there, which was about 20 years ago, the majority of the students were male, and the majority of the students came from funeral service. I was an anomaly. I was a female, and I'd only seen one funeral my whole life. But I knew I wanted to do it since I was about 10. So I can't tell you why, but I did. And I'm glad I did, because I can't imagine doing anything else.
Yeah, the 54 students that you have, how many women, how many men?
Well, just like Jane said, the demographics have changed. When I went to funeral school in 1973, there were two women in my class of about 30 guys. And now it's 60% female. Mm-hmm. In any given class. And it's not unusual to see only about 15% now being family funeral directors, and the other 85 coming from other professionals or right out of high school.
Jack, you know, it obviously takes a certain type of person, a certain temperament to be able to properly work in this profession. What kind of qualities do you need?
You know, I think first and foremost, the individuals that I've seen come into the profession who are successful are people who like to care for other individuals. And I don't say that as a pun, but I say that meaning they're people who derive a sense of satisfaction from helping others. So in a lot of senses, it's like a vocation, not unlike being a priest or a minister. You find the people who are successful and stay in the profession are the ones who really derive their own satisfaction from helping others.
Jane, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I was just going to say, I always thought that I was good at it because I'm codependent. So it helps to be that way. So I'm codependent. So I get a lot of pleasure from people needing me and helping them. So it makes sense. It's a joke, sort of. But when you wake up in the middle of the night and you take care of business, and you better have a really good reason to be doing this. It's certainly not the money. It's not. It's because you really like helping people.
Well, you look at people as family, right?
Correct.
When you're doing
Correct.
This kind of work.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. I've had people say, you have a client coming in, and I think, no, it's not. We don't like the word client. We like the word family, and it's because they are. I have people that come in years later. There was a time where I buried someone, and then I saw that same family in 1 year 6 times. Mm. So it's not a client. It's a family, because I'll see him at the mall. I'll see him at Kroger. I'll see him when I look horrible, and they come and pick me out, and they're like, "Hey, how you doing?" So it's truly not like any other business, that's for sure.
Yeah. Ben, what to you have been the most difficult aspects of the profession to learn?
For me, it's been learning patience, I guess. I'm a very patient, very, you know, relaxed kind of guy. But, you know, when we get a call at, if I've been up all night answering calls and get a call at 3 o'clock in the morning and the family's there and they want to talk about, you know, what names go in the obituary, what names don't go in the obituary, you know, that's all great and good. And for me, it's just learning that patience, learning to calm down, learning that they're coming to me, you know, they're coming to, you know, the funeral home that I work at. And asking us to care for them in their time of need. So learning to calm down, put them first, you know, and then myself second. So just learning that's been kind of a challenge, but also kind of a rewarding challenge to me. You know, I've learned a lot about myself.
I keep hearing that you're on call all the time. It sounds like 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join us. And Jack, all the years you've been in this industry, what are some of the changes that you've seen occur in it during the years?
Yeah, there's been a lot of change. I graduated from high school in 73 and went right into the profession as an apprentice. And I would say that probably the most dramatic change has been in the number of cremations. In 73, I think the cremation rate was about 5.3%. Now, nationally, it's around 46%. And Some areas it's as high as the 70s, and some areas a lot lower. But the point is, cremation has taken on as a form of disposition. It's been accepted by the public.
How big is the funeral industry overall? Any ideas?
Geez, I have no way to quantify it off the top of my head. And I can't imagine what kind of numbers to put to it.
Okay. But it's seen a lot of changes over the years. And how much of it's been technology-driven?
Obviously, there's been the aid of the computer has come in over my lifetime. I didn't know what a computer was when I graduated from school. And, now a lot of forms can be handled electronically. Many states allow funeral directors to sign and fill out death certificates electronically, process everything electronically. Government claims are processed electronically. It's made a lot of it easier. And, of course, in many ways, you could say it makes a lot of things a little less personal, too. There's a little bit less personal contact between the funeral director and maybe some of the government officials that used to have to go stand in line to see on a regular basis.
Hmm. Jane, what about you? What are some of the changes you've seen over the years?
I think the biggest change that I've seen lately, and it seems to be that the funeral directors I talk to within the organizations I belong, they have found that we're edging toward the more party planner type person rather than funeral director, because people want to have a big party. I've had everything from where you'd have a band come in, or I've had an open bar, and we have bartenders come in. So sometimes we're planning parties more than funerals. That's what they are.
So they're becoming more elaborate.
They're becoming more elaborate. We've put up tents for parties or for funerals. So it's interesting. We used to, when I first started, you would get a call and you were going to have a 5 to 9 visitation. And then the next day you'd have a 10 o'clock mass. And then after that you would go to the cemetery. And now sometimes we'll bury first. Sometimes we will have a funeral and then we'll wait until the luncheon's over and then we'll go to the cemetery. So it's become more of, I think people are doing things for themselves more than just what the tradition used to be. So I'm finding that there's more. They'll bring in harpists. They'll bring in all kinds of people. It's interesting. I like it. There's one of the things that I wanted when I got into this was I didn't want to sit at my desk all day long every single day. I don't think that I'd be very good at that. So sometimes you are planning a party. Sometimes I'm calling Aileen Tent Company because I have to have tents come out and heaters and this time of year. And it's interesting. I'm calling caterers. I'm doing all kinds of things. I'm not always at my desk writing death certificates out. So it's fun. It's fun. But that's the biggest difference. We're at the service of the people now, whereas before I think we used to say, this is what you'll be doing and this is what time you'll do it and this is what you should wear and all of that. That's not what we do anymore.
So, and from your perspective, how much has technology changed? One thing I've noticed was I had a good friend pass away, mm-hmm. and I went online and actually found a memorial book mm-hmm. I could sign online. Is that kind of thing becoming more and more common?
Yeah, we at our funeral home, I love technology, I was one that didn't really want to move that direction because I felt it was impersonal. But then the more people ask for it, the more you can't keep putting it off. So we had to do it. I wanted people to come to the funerals. I didn't want them just to log on and sign a book, a virtual book. So mm-hmm. I wanted them to come and participate. I think that's important. But, everybody wants something different. So we have a website and we have a virtual book.
Yeah. How much of this profession revolves around not just technical skills, but people skills and psychology?
Do you want to go?
You want to go with that, Ben?
I'd say 100%.
Yeah,
our business, our profession is focused around the people that come to us at their time of need. Mm-hmm. It's our people skills that allow us to sit down with families. Even before that, when we transfer someone into our care, being there with the family, being able to listen to their stories, being able to gather information to, provide a meaningful service for the family and for the community. So I'd say, apart from the desk work, which is very minimal, I'd mm-hmm. say, that's 100% of our profession.
What's the most gratifying part of this work to you, Ben?
For me, I can't tell you how many times I've been at a graveside after the funeral is completely finished, and a widow or a widower's come up to me with tears in their eyes and said, thank you so much for everything you've done for us. And it makes, in that moment, makes getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning, at 2:30 in the morning, at 1:30 in the morning, being worked to the bone, all worth it. It's amazing. There's no feeling like it in the world.
But it sounds like there's science involved in this, but it also sounds like there's a bit of art maybe involved in this as well. Is that true, Jack?
Yeah, I would say that Ben is 100% correct. It is the people skills that make all the difference in the world. And I think, you know, one of the things that's changing more and more in the profession is that the funeral director today is getting more educated in death, dying, and bereavement skills, understanding grief, understanding how to help people go on their mourning journey. And so that kind of thing doesn't happen in a cold, calculated way. It has to happen person to person.
What advice would you have for somebody who's thinking of going into this profession?
Well, the first thing I tell them is they need to come to the Cincinnati College of Mortuary Science.
Of course.
but, you know, one of the reasons I tell them you want to go there is because of the bachelor's degree. And should you change your mind later and want to continue your education, you have the foundation. I went to the Cincinnati College of Mortuary Science, earned a bachelor's of mortuary science, and went on to subsequently earn two more graduate degrees. And I had that option because I went to Cincinnati.
You can never have too much education for this profession,
I believe
you?
In a lifetime of learning.
Well, Jack, Ben, and Jane, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Cincinnati College of Mortuary Science President Jack Lechner and current student Ben Dollarhide, also Cincinnati College of Mortuary Science Adjunct Instructor, Greater Cincinnati Funeral Service Association President, and Thomas Justin Memorial Funeral Home Manager Jane Ludlow.